University Broadcast Studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. By the way, Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, so if you haven't already got something for your mama, you got to go down to the store. You got to get your mama something nice. Not the 7-Eleven, not the Wawa. No, you got to go to a nice place like a Hallmark store or the flower shop. As a matter of fact, it's not or, it's and. So get your mama some candies and some flowers and, you know, be nice. Treat your mama real special. You ought to be doing that every single day, but especially on Mother's Day. So that is your friendly neighborhood reminder here at the Todd Starnes Radio Show, where the entire team, mothers, have already been taken care of. Those are the kinds of people we hire here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Gotta love your mama. That's like one of the top job descriptions. Anyway, we've got a great hour of stuff coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen. Bad news, if you live in Appleton, Wisconsin, we have some video up on our website, toddstarnes.com, and it's a little disturbing. There was a group of young men, young teenage boys. Their coaches were there getting in a little ball practice on the ball field for baseball season. And along come the popo, the police. And the police officers came and they hauled the coach aside and they said, "Coach, you're not allowed to have baseball practice because of the coronavirus. Baseball is no longer permitted in Appleton, Wisconsin. America's pastime is banned in Appleton, Wisconsin." And I will say this, the young men and the coaches, they presented themselves as gentlemen, and they did as they were instructed to do by the armed police officers, and they packed up their gear and walked off the field. We have the video of the entire incident on toddstarnes.com. But I want you to understand the kind of country we live in right now, a place where you cannot go to the beach and lay out and get a suntan. You cannot go into your backyard and plant a crop of butter beans in America. And now, apparently, you cannot even play baseball on a baseball field. This is who we have become in America in just over 2 months. Now, fortunately, people are fighting back. And people are engaging in their constitutional rights. They are hiring attorneys and constitutional lawyers to fight the good fight. One of those is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now. A good friend of this program, Harmeet Dillon. Harmeet, good to have you back with us.
Happy to be here, Todd.
Now, Harmeet, we may just make you a co-host of the show here, because it's like almost every day you guys are filing a lawsuit on behalf of some law-abiding patriots out there.
Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, while I have gone into the profession of litigation and I love to fight, I'm sad to say that in my home state of California, just this morning, a little while ago, we filed our ninth lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of different aspects of the governor's orders here, and we are soon to be filing lawsuits in other states as well, through the Center for American Liberty, because as legislators and courts are abdicating their responsibilities, executives, governors, mayors, city councils are coming in to fill the void, and they are abusing power, they're ignoring the Constitution, and they are unchecked by any restrictions from any other parts of our separation of power system.
Now, Harmeet, let's talk about one of those lawsuits. You guys are representing a group of barbers and hair salon stylists in California. What's going on here, and why are they not able to go back to work?
Well, that is the question. Why are they not able to go back to work when the governor, from the beginning of this crisis, designated certain businesses as essential and certain businesses as non-essential, which is the vast majority of them? And so this is the decision that's put millions of Americans out of work, perhaps for months or years to come. And so the challenge here is that in his recent last week press conference regarding next phase of this crisis, and of course, bureaucrats and people in power love phases and control, his phase left out the entire beauty industry, you know, for shorthand of all the people who cut hair, style hair, do nails and other cosmetic beauty type procedures. Basically designated them, you know, implicitly as, you know, sort of dirty and untrustworthy of being able to open, and said maybe, you know, months from now. Don't count on being able to open anytime soon. Now, Todd, a lot of these people are you know, women. A lot of these people are heads of household, and they are independent contractors. They're not eligible for unemployment benefits from the state, and they really rely on this, you know, to make ends meet. They don't have some sugar daddy paying for their, you know, corporate welfare here. And so it's devastating to these people. And I'm talking about 500,000 plus in California who are being denied their human right to earn a living. And now I would also add, these people in California have 1,600 hours of training to get their licenses. And a lot of that training involves passing a test regarding cleanliness, sanitation, and also spotting health risks early on. You know, imagine the person who washes your hair in California is actually trained to spot medical issues, sores, and other changes. So, but the guy at Costco doesn't have that training. The barista at Starbucks doesn't have that training. The Uber driver doesn't have that training. And in fact, most of the, certainly the news media, which was allowed to operate from the beginning of this crisis in California, doesn't have any of that training. So there's really no logic between the governor's shutdown orders or due process or equal protection in the classification of certain businesses as non-essential. There are so many reasons we have to go out and protect the rights of these citizens to earn a living. And it's a right that is derived not from the government, but a right that is derived from our natural rights.
Harmeet, I want to get your take on a couple of other stories. We were talking about one yesterday where the Los Angeles City Council wants to basically name and shame any hotel that does not open its doors to homeless people and drug addicts. And they even went so far as to suggest that they could commandeer places like the Ritz-Carlton and house homeless people there, much to the chagrin, dare I say, of the individuals who actually purchased homes in the Ritz-Carlton building for several million dollars.
Oh, that's nothing. All over California, mayors are seizing on this crisis to suspend zoning requirements and put homeless encampments in expensive neighborhoods, which is, by the way, almost all neighborhoods in California, neighborhoods with over $1 million in San Jose, in places like that, or suspend the requirements and put mobile home parks in those areas in the guise of housing insecurity, which has got nothing to do with the COVID crisis. They're completely unrelated. And, you know, contrary to the fears that many of us had, including myself, that COVID would rip through and, you know, absolutely kill every homeless person on the streets, thank God that has not happened in California. There's literally no rational relationship here. But what is happening in California, as of an admission from public health officials in another big city, San Francisco, where I live yesterday, is the city is allowing the delivery of narcotics, alcohol, and other illicit substances to the homeless who are now occupying the expensive hotels. This is nuts, and it is absolutely driving the nail in the coffin of any intelligent business owner's desire to want to continue doing business in this state.
Yeah, it's this headline from Fox News: San Francisco gives drugs and alcohol to homeless addicts in hotels. We're talking about marijuana. Methadone. It's unbelievable, at taxpayer expense, no less.
Yep, that is California.
Wow.
For you. But I just want to be clear, you know, Todd, this is not just happening in California. And by the way, versions of this are happening in some red states. I'm getting calls from various red states for help because governors there and mayors there and, you know, local officials there and sheriffs there are also abusing their power. It's happening all over the country.
Well, Harmeet, where can people go, A, to get more information on what you guys are doing, but B, maybe there's somebody out there who might need your help, your legal help. Where can folks get that information?
Sure. It's www.libertycenter.org. That is a place to go, give your information, and also support us and contribute if you are so inclined.
All right. Good stuff. Harmeet, you are like, you know, a rock star. So anytime you need to come on the show, you have an open invitation.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Harmeet Dhillon, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to post a link to her website on our website, the live show blog over at toddstearns.com, so you'll have easy access to that. Folks, can you believe it? Honest to goodness, they are literally San Francisco using federal tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that the homeless that are staying in these fancy hotels have access to marijuana and methadone paid for by, and booze paid for by your tax dollars. It's unbelievable. So they get room service, turn down service. I don't, maybe a little chocolate left on the pillow, or at least, I don't know. Cocaine, who knows? I don't know. All right. Before we go to break, I want to bring Judy on the line here. Judy is listening to us on our app and over at toddstearns.com, New Iberia, Louisiana. Now, Judy, we are having a conversation about how to pronounce the name of a delicious Louisiana delicacy. And I said praline, and Caleb, what did you say?
I said praline.
Judy, welcome to the program.
Very glad to be with you, Todd. And I would like to let you know, we are 12 miles from the Gulf, Cajun country, the best place to get any kind of food, and we say praline. We do not say praline. We also say pecan. We do not raise pecans. With our area here, with etouffee, jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo, alligators, frog legs, best place you could ever come to eat anything. And I can assure you, if you would say, please give me a pecan pie, they would look at you with a query on their minds as to, what are you saying? Or if you would ask for pralines instead of pralines. So please don't let anyone ever tell you that you are mispronouncing. They're just in the wrong area.
Oh, Judy, I love you, Judy.
And I'm a French teacher. I'm a retired French teacher, so I know what I'm talking about, period.
Now, Judy, you know, my dad, when I was in high school or junior high, we got transferred from Memphis to La Place, Louisiana, which is over in St. John Parish. And my, you know, of course, moving from Memphis to Louisiana, there's a bit of culture shock. And I'll never forget this. My Spanish teacher was actually Cajun French. And so I'm not quite sure what language I learned, but it sounded lovely.
Well, the thing is this, communication is the key to everything. And if you teach French, basic French, but you do not incorporate Cajun French, which is an older time of French when they moved to Nova Scotia, you are really sacrificing the love of the language for the elderly people that are
here.
And
well
said. I'm considered elderly. And so when I taught, I always made sure that I would put in the French songs that were popular or that they knew, like J'ai passé devant ta porte, I passed in front of your door. And the grandparents were just elated that they would be able to hear their grandchildren speak French.
Judy, how do you say French. We have to go? How do you say we have to go in French?
On a pour aller.
Well, we've got to go. They're making me take a break here. But Judy, I want you to promise me you're going to call back. I'd love to have a conversation about language because I love those kinds of conversations. And I love that Cajun French dialect. But we do have to skedaddle for a break here. So, Judy, thank you for calling. Praline, Caleb. Praline. We'll discuss after the break.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, welcome. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, Caleb, what have we learned today? What have we learned?
That people in New Orleans pronounce it praline?
That America pronounces it praline.
Listen, you need to have a conversation with your neighbors in East Tennessee, because every time I've ever been to the Smokies, I've heard nothing but praline.
No. I'm telling, well, for one thing, you should not be buying a praline anywhere other than Louisiana. That's mistake number one.
That's a little difficult to do when you live in Georgia.
That's why you should vacation in New Orleans. Get down to New Iberia.
Aren't they still on lockdown, though?
Yeah, I don't know. We could ask. We can ask Miss Janice, who is on the line. Hi, Miss Janice. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing okay, Todd. I've always pronounced it praline, and pecans are pecans, not pecans. Mm-hmm.
We agree on that.
Yeah, well, that's the way I have always done it. Mm-hmm. English, I was pretty good at English in school. Algebra, not so much, but English, okay. Listen, I wanted to mention something here. For everybody that is listening to me, now we all have to use a little bit of common sense here. When I go out to the store, I plan, and I thought my husband was going to buck me on this, but no, he's with me on it. We're going to wear a mask over our mouths. Now, I'm not against doing that. May even wear a glove on my hand to open the freezer door to get what I got to get out the freezer. But here is something that strikes me. Okay, my husband always gets a flu vaccine. My mother, back in the day, I think the doctor had her take one. Okay, this year, for the first time in my life, okay, I got a flu vaccine because I had the flu last year. It was no fun. But nonetheless, this was of our choosing. Life Petitions is what it is, lifepetitions.com. In the recent section, they have two petitions. One is against this, what they're calling for, Todd, is the mandatory. That's the word that sticks out like a sore thumb in my face. Mandatory vaccine. And I'm thinking, well, if they can mandatorily vaccine us, who's to say they won't stick a chip in my forehead or something in my hand or want to tattoo us? You know, I truly believe that we are living in the end times. I believe that the Bible is coming to fruition.
Interesting.
All kinds of things.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Janice, because Benjamin Netanyahu actually caught a lot of blowback because he wanted to insert chips into the children. Like, you know, computer chips.
When was this? When did he want to do that?
It just passed my news feed just a little while ago, so it's just fairly new. But I get your point, Janice. We're up against the news break here. Do you want to hold on?
I'll hold for a second.
All right, yeah, Janice. Let's put Janice on hold. Janice, go get a praline and enjoy a lovely snack. Caleb, praline. Praline, pecan, New Orleans, not New Orleans. Just, we're educating people. You see, you learn something new here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That's what the program's all about. Oh, I got to tell you all about a CBS reporter and an ice cream truck. It's an unbelievable story. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm going to get to the CBS reporter and the ice cream truck story in just a few minutes, but I want to go right back to the phone. Our sweet dear friend, Miss Janice from New Orleans, who just informed the nation, as did Miss Judy from New Iberia, that it's praline and pecan. That's the raging debate of the day, and it has been settled. So, Janice, we have you back. You were talking about this idea that people are out there calling for mandatory vaccinations. You're not a fan of that.
No, I don't like the word mandatory. Now, here's something else. Originally, I think it was really supposed to be New Orleans, but somehow it became New Orleans. People say New Orleans, so I say New Orleans. But technically, I believe it was meant to be called Orleans. But anyway, here's something else. Our mayor, now this is not all of Louisiana, But Amaya, there's something she wants to do. And again, on that lifepetitions.com website there, they have a petition. You all can go and you can petition, sign the petition for all the governors across the country not to do what Cantrell wants to do. First of all, you need people to do it. Second of all, how are you going to keep the information secure? And third, while you're giving your information, other people will be able to hear if there's other people around, which there would be. What they want to do, what she's proposing, is when you go to a store, they want to, it's called logging, is what it's called. Oh, what is your name? Oh, Mr. Starnes. And where do you live, sir? And what is your phone number? You know, and whatever other information they want to dig out of you. And personally, I'd turn around and walk out, me. Now, that's not all Louisiana that's proposing this. This isn't Governor Edwards. I don't want to make, you know, anybody think this is Bell Edwards. This is LaToya Cantrell here in New Orleans. She wants to do that with the businesses here. But
So if you wanted to go into, say, mm-hmm. I don't know, do they still have the Schwegmans down there? I used to love
that. No, that's gone.
Okay. Well, you know,
ain't there no more.
All right, it's gone. That's very sad. Great grocery store, though. So let's say you go into Mother's and get yourself a po' boy. So they're gonna be required what to get your name and all your personal information.
If she has her way.
Oh, that's
if,
not.
If,
yeah,
if,
that's
if
not
Cantrell
good.
Had her way.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's what she wants. I mean, so on this, like I said, on this lifepetitions.com website, they have the petition about the mandatory vaccines, and they have the petition that you can sign, and it's for all the governors across the nation, telling them that we do not want to be logged when we go
somewhere.
You see,
Janice, you see, I'm with you on this. I have a big problem with the word mandatory. You know, this again, this is our choice. If I don't want to get a flu shot, a couple of years ago, I didn't get a flu shot. I forgot. It's not that I didn't want to, but I forgot. Mm-hmm. And guess what happened? I got the flu. So you mm-hmm. know what happened the following year, Janice? I went and got the flu shot.
Yeah.
So, but that should be my choice. That is not the government's choice.
Really, that should be your choice. What's going, what they're putting into your body, you know? Now, my husband says he wants to get the vaccine. Okay, all right. But all I can say is they better make sure it's going to work and just be careful. Because, I mean, it's not that I don't want it, but I just want to wait. It's not something I jump on immediately because I want to make sure it's safe, you know, first before I do that. And, Todd, you know, I just wish to God that we didn't have to deal with this. I was telling you, call screener, before. How long do we have to deal with the stress out of COVID? Really, it's unbelievable. And there are people out there that are using this. They're using it to do things. It's not Rahm Emanuel. Yes, he said it. But it was Saul Alinsky. Never let a crisis go to waste. Use it. Absolutely. Just use it to do stuff to people that normally you couldn't get by with doing. And that's what it boils down to. I don't want to be trapped. I don't like this situation. But this kind of stuff is in the Bible. The hornets, the pestilence, increase in earthquakes. Pay attention, people. Wake up, get down on your knees, and pray to Jesus Christ, because we need him very much, and he is going to come back.
Have a good day. I like Janice. You're fired up today. It's always pleasant to hear you call in. And look, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. And I know we have a lot of young people that listen to this radio program. Listen to people like Miss Janice from New Orleans. She understands. She's got a wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and she just imparted a boatload of it on the entire country. Janice, thank you. God bless. Have a great weekend. Could you imagine having to turn over your name and your address and your information to the grocery store clerk, or down at the Starbucks, they can't even get your name right on the cup. You know what I would do, guys? If I walk into the Chick-fil-A and they're like, "We got to have your name for our files," I would just say, "Avery Bryson."
That's fine. If my name's in the files. If my name's in the files of Chick-fil-A, I'm sure I'll get like some free chicken
or something
like that.
They've probably got my information at this point with how many times I've been there. Just
and you know, if you got the rewards app,
you know what it is. Avery, I'm going to drop a little Baptist. Caleb, are you what denomination are you? What flavor are you?
I'm Baptist.
Oh, you're Baptist.
I am.
Flavor.
Yeah, I'm mint chocolate.
The only name I want my.
The only book I want my name written in is the Lamb's Book of Life. That's an old Baptist saying right there. All right, we're going to get back to the phones, but I got to tell you the story. This is a horrible story. Guys, I'm expecting some commentary here. Do you remember as a kid the ice cream? Do you guys in Gainesville, Georgia, do you guys have the ice cream trucks, you know, that drive through the neighborhood and they had the little song playing?
Yeah, I've seen them, yeah.
I have seen them. I've never actually gone to
snow one. Cones are real popular in the summer here.
Okay, well, the shaved ice. They call the shaved ice up in New York City. But back in the day, you know, you would have the ice cream truck go drive through the neighborhood, and the little children would come a-running and get themselves, I don't know, a Dreamsicle or whatever. So anyway, there was a guy driving his ice cream truck through the neighborhood in Chicago, and it just so happened to be a neighborhood where a CBS news reporter lived. He works for the CBS Chicago affiliate, a guy by the name of Brad Edwards. And the guy blew a gasket because it turns out the ice cream truck driver was not wearing a mask. And so the guy comes like storming out. The reporter's very upset. And they end up doing this huge like expose on the poor ice cream guy simply because he was not wearing a mask. And we have screenshots of what happened on our website. And they were just, this was like a massive scandal to these reporters. And Mr. Edwards, the TV reporter, says, "No gloves, no mask, no problem. This ice cream man is not only ignoring COVID-19 protocol, but he's breaking the law. Such trucks are forbidden in Hoffman Estates." The village manager says, "If you see him, call 911. Now, I'm wondering exactly how many people called 911. You know, 911's very busy these days. Everybody's calling to rat out the neighbors.
Yeah, and I saw this report, and what I found the funniest during this report, and Avery as well, was that they keep iterating. This guy goes by Mr. Freeze, and they feel like they have to keep reminding the audience. Mr. Freeze is not his name. They say it like three times over the course of like the 2-minute segment.
Yeah, Mr. Freeze again, not his real name.
That's his alias.
Like, I thought, you know, little 19-year-old me over here was just thinking, "Oh my gosh, this guy's real name is Mr. Freeze. That's crazy." And then they just like, you know, destroyed
like
my dreams.
The villain from Batman.
Yeah, I thought he was the real villain from Batman. Thought he was Arnold Schwarzenegger in disguise.
No, he's not Schwarzenegger. He doesn't look like Schwarzenegger. Maybe from a distance, you know, from a couple of miles away, maybe. "If you see that ice cream man, call 911. That's what the reporter said. So not only can you not play baseball, but now apparently you're not allowed to enjoy an ice cream cone on a very warm day. And the poor guy, Mr. Freeze, is just like, "Hey, are you kidding me? I'm just trying to make a living out here." Just,
not his real name,
by
the way.
Not his real name.
Thank you. I mean, it's sad. I mean, here's the guy. And, you know, that's got to be a hard job. I mean, you got to be driving around all day and all the screaming kids and, you know, the sticky icky. You know, it's horrible. So I feel bad for Mr. Freeze.
Again, not his real name. Just so people know.
Appreciate you reminding me of this.
What is I can't remember what it is in the video.
Did they ever figure out his real name?
I think they do, but I don't. They keep referring to him as Mr. Freeze, like after they've already established his real name. They feel the need to go back and say that's not his name.
Do we have like ominous music? We need some ominous music here.
The closest thing I have is this.
That iconic music. Oh, is that all we've got? Is it just that little clip?
Well, that's from the report, so it's, you know, you're going to hear that reporter.
All right. I was going to try to do some sort of a dramatic reading of what the reporter actually said on air. "That iconic music screams summer, and always scream for ice cream, but during the pandemic, getting close to the ice cream man could mean getting something else." All right, that sounds incredibly inappropriate.
Yeah, that just sounds bad.
Some very bad innuendo there.
"Two scoops or one, Sally."
What
is the ice cream man doing? This is terrible.
To that reporter, you're supposed to be a professional news reporter, not writing some weird fantasizing novel, bro, okay?
A little pervy to me, Brad Edwards from CBS Chicago. "That iconic music screams summer, and all we scream for ice cream.
I read that wrong. My apologies. We all scream for ice cream. But during the pandemic, getting close to the ice cream man could mean getting something else. Fact of life. Yet here is Mr. Freeze, not his name, in his truck of treats, unmasked, ungloved, taking cash for cones.
Like it's a drug deal.
Oh, sweet Lord. Sweet Lord help us.
I imagine him with like a trench coat, and like he opens a trench coat and there's just a line of ice cream just sandwiches ice cream. In his pockets.
Hey, kid, want a frozen Snickers bar? It's terrible. All right, we got to take a break. I'm just, folks, the country's gone slap crazy. What are you going to do? 844-747-8868. I will say this as we go to break. I looked up, I was consulting with one of our Old Testament theologians we have on the staff of the program. And they told me that Brad Edwards, the CBS television reporter, does indeed fit the definition of the Old Testament term braying ass. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I want to go right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. I feel really bad now. Paula White is on the line with us. Paula, I shouldn't have used that that language there in that last segment. My apologies.
Hey, Todd. It's so great to be with you. Hope you're having a wonderful day.
You know, I am, Paula, but I have to tell you, I could probably use some spiritual counseling or guidance here because I just find myself getting so frustrated by these attacks on liberty and freedom under the guise of, you know, we've got to be safe and all that kind of stuff.
I think there's lots of us that get frustrated, and I'll give you a good scripture. You can be angry and sin not. So... You know, the Bible says that there are times we have these emotions and get frustrated. And I think some things we need to get angry about. Jesus certainly did when he was thrown over some tables in the temple and said, this is just not right. So it's not always a bad thing. It's how we handle it.
You know, I know that you, in addition to being a minister, you are a spiritual advisor and counselor and friend to our president. And we've had you on the program before. How is the president holding up, you know, spiritually through all this? Because it's got to be trying for everybody in the country.
You know, I was with him yesterday, of course, for the National Day of Prayer. And I have to say he was in really good spirits. It was so good to be back with them. I've been working remotely for the most part and had been with them. I think it was right before, it was like the March 13th or 14th. And so and first it was just great back to be with First Lady and President and Vice President. And he is, his leadership is amazing. I think people have gone to see the man that I've known for 19 years. When you're under this kind of pressure, this kind of crisis, this kind of stress, it can be just unbearable. But at the same time, anyone who watched National Day of Prayer, I think, saw the heart of our president, the authenticity. They saw him. Well, he just paused and really read that scripture a second time. I love that he's becoming more and more open with his faith and with his walk with God and the kind of strength that you get to walk through this. The optimism, the we will move forward, the amount of work that he's doing to bear that kind of weight, that kind of strength can only come from God. And he certainly has, he's never hidden his relationship with God. He's always talked about we worship God, not government. But to see him even more and more openly, just his reliance on God and people that know his story and have been close to him and understand that, you know, stemmed from all the way back in his childhood, that he grew up with a very godly praying mother and went to church, confirmed Presbyterian, went to church all throughout his childhood and most of his adulthood, especially early adulthood. up until the day that Norman Vincent Peale retired, he said was one of the saddest days ever. But he's doing well. I mean, considering, you know, there's a, I say you considering, we're all, you know,
sure.
In lieu and looking at it, the loss of life is very hard for him. Looking at putting the economy back on track. But I tell you what, if anyone can do it, he certainly can do it.
We've got about a minute left. Paula, what are you telling churches? We're hearing from so many pastors that say, you know what, it's time to start getting back to the church house. What do you say?
You know, people want to worship. They want to be back together in fellowship. And I say, depending on which area you're in, be smart, be safe. We know phases. Just come against the fear. Talk to your people. Send the surveys out. See where they are. Because I think one of our biggest battles right now, Todd, is fear. People are afraid. And the reality, we know that there is a virus. But there is a safe way to start opening up America and opening up our cities and our churches and doing things right. And if we're smart about this, we should be worshiping. That might look like a drive-in or an outdoor service. And then as you start to integrate back in your building. But fellowship is such an important part, and coming together, community, is so important to people of faith.
Well said. Paula, thank you for coming on the program, and what a terrific prayer you prayed yesterday, and God bless you, and thank you for ministering to our great president.
Thank you so much, Todd. You be blessed, and you'll have fun. Not too much fun, but have fun.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you, Paula. Paula White, ladies and gentlemen. Jeez, Lou. Caleb, you forgot to tell me that you didn't tell me that she was, like, on the line. I should have said but, or, you know, derriere, or I don't know, hindquarters.
Well, I mean, it was in the Bible.
Well, I know, but that's the, you know, King James Version. She may not use the King James Version. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, hey, folks, we've got a full hour, and you're going to want to stick around for this. We have some great, great fun coming your way. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.